Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Whiskey makes me frisky.
Is that what you drink it there, Pete? I know you're a big whiskey guy.
Oh, yeah. I would say that whiskey, it makes you frisky to a point.
Yeah, and then you get whiskey. That's why the word whiskey dink came out, from way back in the day.
I never had that really until recently.
And because you were younger.
I was younger, yeah. And now I'm like, okay.
Now I know what whiskey
Yeah, my girlfriend will be like, let's go. And I'm like, okay. All right. This will be a fun experiment.
And now your girlfriend's coming to town, right? So until then, yeah. You just have Steve, right?
Steve, yeah, I just Gillespie have Steve.
Just me.
FunnyBoneOmaha.com. Pete tweets at Pete Lee Tweet. Steve, your Twitter handle?
Epa Gillespie. E-P-I Gillespie.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Epa Gillespie.
G-I-L-L-E-S-P-I-E.
You got it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a good Gillespie speller.
Did Todd say this the other day?
Yeah.
I remember that. Besides saying this, Todd.
Whiskey makes me frisky.
Apparently you said this.
Whiskey disables my dinky.
I'm going to guess that was in the same paragraph.
It was shortly after that, yes.
I remember.
Yeah, you know how like there's like guys get girls drunk so they're easier in the sack?
Right.
Like, sometimes when my girlfriend is like so drunk, I'm like, I hope she, like, I'm just hoping she doesn't remember that we didn't have sex because like it didn't work or anything like that.
So if you know you're getting too drunk, you got to pour some into her then, right?
Yeah.
I mean alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I get her so loaded that she doesn't want to do it. But that rarely happens. But whiskey. It's like cocaine. You know, it gives you the confidence to talk a girl into bed, and then you're like, sorry. Yeah. Hope you like morning sex.
Hope you like morning sex.
Yeah.
What kind of whiskey you drink? What's your favorite?
I love Scotch. I love Macallan.
Oh, you're a Scotch guy.
Yeah, okay. Macallan specifically.
Just on the rocks?
On the rocks, straight. You know, okay. Yeah. I like it neat.
Neat.
I like it neat.
How much can you drink?
A lot. I can drink a lot.
Too much?
Yeah, like way too much.
How's your hangover?
I really don't get hangovers as long as I'm drinking whiskey.
Oh, because the tolerance is that good now.
Yeah.
Is that because you can sleep in?
Yeah, oh, I sleep in.
That helps.
Yeah, and I usually mix it with weed, so I sleep real good.
Oh,
I found that to be a great hangover cure.
Yeah, it helps.
Yeah,
it helps.
What, whiskey?
A weed.
Yeah, I know. I know weed.
Weed. We were, sometimes it puts you back to sleep. And that's all you need.
It's great. You just need to go back to sleep, sleep it off. We are actually in Vegas, and weed's legal there, and we drank so much, and we're in the suite at the Rio because the Comedy Cellar has a Rio room.
Okay,
now.
Yeah.
And we got this suite where the windows just span.
I saw our buddy Nick Griffin's there this week at the Rio Comedy Cellar. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's making him happy.
Yeah, because he can't drink. Yeah,
because many things do make Nick happy.
He's not happy. He's not happy, and he can't drink because he didn't drink.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so there's this huge panoramic windows that overlook the strip, and it was the first time in my life that I woke up choking on my own vomit.
Really?
And
you
left.
You almost put a Hendrix in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Man, if you die in Vegas, Pete Lee, that would suck.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell people I'm pretty hardcore.
Yeah, other places, not so bad.
Well, because first of all, here's why. We would know you drink whiskey, and our audience would, but the people that watch you you perform on the Tonight Show, it's all of a sudden he's Pete Lee. I'm Pete Lee, and he dies puking in his own vomit in Vegas. That'd be, you'd go out a freaking star, though.
He must have died choking on fruit snacks in the morning. That guy.
On fruit snacks. Exactly.
He must have mixed fruit snacks with soda.
That good boy, he drank whiskey?
Yeah, I woke up and like I got out of bed and
you must have drank a lot.
I drank a lot, yeah. And I like walked over to the window and kind of like put my hand on the window and I'm like looking out over Vegas, like coughing up the puke out of my mouth.
Oh, I was my God. Just in some boxers and no shirt? I'm just trying to picture this.
Fully naked.
Fully naked.
And I was
That's the way Tyler was picturing.
That's why I was hoping there'd be no boxers.
Yeah,
right.
Batman naked, and I remember like thinking like I'm choking myself like awake from whiskey puke, like looking out over Vegas, I was like, am I finally cool?
Yes. Yeah, that is cool. That gets rid of that stage persona for sure, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That at least one on TV with a suit and everything.
Yeah, yeah. That was a bad day. And then my girlfriend's a nurse, so she she woke up and helped me and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, she was there?
Yeah, she was there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and
you were a catch that night.
Oh, I was. She was so sweet about it. She's like, yeah, it happens. Yeah. I was like, does it? Does this happen to people?
Yeah, people die from it.
Yeah.
Did you see this place? Last time I was in Vegas, I was at...
And you don't have the frame of mind when you're whiskey drunk to sleep on your belly.
No. I was my back feels good.
Yeah, because you don't remember.
Yeah.
Last time I was in Vegas, they had places where you could go and get, like, IVs.
Yeah.
Oh, they actually sell those now?
Yeah. Well, no, there's, actual places you can go to.
That's what I mean.
Plenty of places in Southern California you can do that.
Are starting to do that now?
Yeah. Yeah. They're in the casinos. They're like, you can go play a blackjack, and then, you know, you're pounding drinks, and then you're like, I'm not feeling so good. Turn around and go get your...
They did that in the show The Billions. They came into offices and do that in New York City. So they actually doing that now in Vegas? I'd do that in a heartbeat.
I bet you they have one at the airport, even. Because they used to have... oxygen bars all over the place.
Yeah, but that doesn't work like this does.
This kind of replaced the oxygen bar, and they used to have an oxygen bar at the Vegas
airport.
This
is a needle in your arm, though, isn't it?
Yeah, like an IV.
Did it work?
Giving you, I didn't do it.
Okay.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I actually,
it's like $60.
Yeah, I found out about that like the day after my hangover. We were driving somewhere, and I was like, hey, what's that? And my girlfriend was like, oh, yeah, you can go get an IV. And I was like, I would have paid $1,000 for that.
Yes,
exactly.
You don't have to. $50, $60. My daughter's done it a couple of times.
You know, see, I drink through those, but now I would rather do that and then drink again that night and feel good, you know.
Drink while you're doing it.
both. The hair of the dog and the IV.
You would feel extra great. Yeah. Man, puking in Vegas. The Pete Lee story.
Yeah. That night we went to the Nine Inch Nails concert over at the Hard Rock.
So you weren't appearing that night either, or were you?
I wasn't appearing that night. I actually asked Esty at the cellar for the night off, and so she gave it to us. You know, we went over there, and we drank a lot, but then we also smoked the strongest weed pen that I've ever had in my life.
Right.
To the point where we were with a table full of people, and my girlfriend and I, we were the only ones that smoked this, and we were just only kind of having a conversation with each other, to the point where everyone else was like, we're going to go, and we're like, see you guys. You know, like, we just didn't care.
Yeah.
And that's so outside of my personality, too.
Okay, I want to ask you this, because what stops you from telling a story like that on Fallon? They won't allow that, or you don't allow that? Just his style of show wouldn't do it, or just that network wouldn't do it?
Specifically, they won't do it on Fallon.
Because
I have a...
Tell that story on Conan?
You could totally tell that on Conan or Colbert. Yeah.
What, the choking on your own vomit or the...
The drunk story, and the weed pen.
The weed pen.
Yeah, even just mentioning marijuana. Like, I have an opening line that I do sometimes where I go, I'll be like, all right, Thursday night, Omaha, cocaine.
Right.
You know, and it's just like a funny thing because it shouldn't be coming from me. And then I tell the story about me doing cocaine, like the one time I did it and how it just wasn't extreme at all. And I pitched that to the Tonight Show for the last one. I was like, hey, I want this to be my opening joke. Right. And they're like, no, you cannot discuss cocaine on this show. And I was like, but it's a really cute, innocent joke.
Yeah, it's from you, it is, right?
It's the irony of you saying it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
cocaine. Hey, guys. Yeah.
Well, I think the irony of your character, I shouldn't say it's character, that is you. I know you long
enough. No, it's not.
It's part of him. It's like he said yesterday, it's part of him. It's part of him.
It's my inner voice that I fight with all the time.
But I still think you telling that the way you tell it, the puking, leaning up against the thing naked in Vegas, that would be great the way you would tell it on that show.
Oh, and
but
I
wouldn't let you do it, right?
Yeah, I could make it witty. I could clean it up. Right. I could, you know, make it very self-deprecating. Right. But yeah, they just... that's one of the things that I've been struggling with is that, you know, to write bits that you can do on that show...
to get national exposure.
Yeah, those are really rare, and those nuggets are so precious. Mm-hmm. And so I'll write a bunch of them, and I have old material that I kind of mix with new material, but every time I write a new bit that's really good, I'm like, well, I got to do it on my next one. And then I burn that, and then last night I was doing that theater, and I'm like, I feel like I don't have any new stuff because I've been burning all
of it. Are you afraid that everybody saw the Fallon bit? Because not everybody did. Although I've seen it recently... Our buddy T.J. Miller was here last week, and he told a story on the air. And he told us on the air that he tells us on stage. And I was at the stage show the Saturday night, and I felt half the audience heard it.
Yeah.
I felt it. Yeah. I could feel it. And I'm thinking, man, that's why we don't tell comedians never – I mean, I know a lot of people don't listen to us, but a lot of people do, especially ones that go to the Funny Bone. And I felt it before, the story being told on the air, told on that night at the Bone – you can feel it.
It just takes
it's
a
still
dip.
Funny, but you can still feel it.
It
know?
Takes a dip, and it and it's a weird a thing for the people that haven't heard it because they're like, "That's so funny! I'm gonna laugh like I've been laughing."
Right,
and then they look around like, "What happened? Was that offensive?
Yeah,
what was it that made?"
And Pete Lee fans have watched you on even if not staying up, they've seen your bit. It's on all over line online. Right?
Now you think if you go on Fallon 10 or 12 more times, and the audience gets to know you a little better, they'll give you a little more latitude,
a little more leeway. Yeah,
but not cocaine or marijuana.
Well,
right?
Maybe
Fallon.
I don't know.
Yeah, probably not.
He's winning that battle of just being a happy guy.
Yeah.
And he's got to keep
it's
that
because
he can't go against the other stuff. The other stuff's too real.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good for my writing to have an outlet where I have to write that way towards it. But I definitely, I don't know if it's like an inner rebellion within me, but a lot of the new material that I'm writing isn't that.
Got it.
And it's a lot more honest and it's a lot more real. And so it's tough. It's like a tough spot to be in. And then I was talking to my, Nikki Glaser, my best friend, and she's like, you gotta transition out of that
only
guy.
Only you would have a best friend that's a girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know. Yeah. Only Pete Lee would have a best friend that's a girl. I got no problem with having friends that are girls, but not my best friend.
Yeah.
And
not someone as hot as her. You know?
Because you'd
want to bang her.
You could have banged her. Right. And you could bang her.
And it would be, I don't want to be your friend. I just want to bang you.
Right. I think I've said that before.
God, who hasn't heard that from you, Tom?
Yeah.
Everybody.
But I already banged her.
I know you did.
Yes, you remained friends.
Yeah, well.
You smashed that.
I smashed. Yeah, we smashed, and then we didn't speak for 11 years. And so now I'm like, we can't do that again because we can't have another prohibition on speech with each other.
So you're talking to your best friend about this stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm talking.
She's dirty as hell.
She's dirty, and she's like, you gotta when you do your live shows, you gotta do the stuff that you want to do, and like always follow that. And what your soul is telling you to do is that cleaner stuff, she's like, do that. But she's like, otherwise, you're pigeonholing yourself into being that guy.
Yeah.
And but there are always people that come out to my show that. I mean, I'm going to use like churchy as a, like people that are really churchy, they see me on Fallon and
you're clean cut. Yeah. You got the suit on you. Yeah. You're golly. And we know that's not you. And it's hilarious.
Yeah. They project that I'm super religious and like,
oh, they think that you're religious.
Yeah.
They go that far.
They go that far. Really? I've done shows in Salt Lake where people come up and they're like, we heard you were Mormon. And so we came out and I'm like, not Mormon.
You look like
they
one.
They heard you were Mormon.
Yeah.
As you're holding your scotch.
Yeah.
And this is coffee. Relax.
Yeah. So in Salt Lake, like I swore on stage and I was like, this is me. I'm sorry. But your God forgives you and everything's cool. And
man.
But yeah.
But put you in a short sleeved white shirt, a tie. You could pass as a Mormon.
So, hello.
Really?
People will come out. Mormons will come out if they think you're Mormon.
They will. They.
So I'm going to announce I'm Mormon. Okay. Guys.
Well, not here. We're not. There's no Mormons in this city. Relax. Maybe five.
Yeah. In Nebraska, I'm Christian or a Scientologist because L. Ron was from here, right?
Yeah, but I don't think anybody knows
really?
About that.
He's from right outside of Norfolk. Cause
I think he was born in Nebraska.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. In a tiny town. It was Tilden, Nebraska.
Yeah. And he started a scam.
But I think he got out of there pretty quickly.
So, okay. So you won't. Well, you almost died. That's we wrapped that up. He almost died on whiskey.
Yeah,
that's how that started. 20 some minutes ago, a whiskey conversation. Yeah.
Chow suite.
Yeah,
yeah.
Was there a tiger in your bathroom? I love that.
Yeah, there was a Jamie in the bathroom.
Now whiskey will mess me up. I was doing Manhattans for a while and then I fell down on the floor, and I'm thinking about starting to do Manhattans again.
It's a good drink.
It's a great drink, but you can only drink so many of them because of the whiskey kicks in. And I can't handle, I can still handle my alcohol, but it's still, I don't want to feel brutal. I don't know where I was going with this now. I lost my train of thought. Maybe I'm just thinking about a Manhattan
now.
I really am thinking about a Manhattan.
The alcohol derailed your thought.
Okay, so have you ever gotten so drunk? What's your personality when you're drunk?
Oh.
Do you ever get mean?
I'm probably actually closer to the stage character when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
That's the funny part.
It is.
I get even more polite.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, like my girlfriend will be like, stop saying you're sorry. I'll be like, oh, sorry. You know, like I grabbed your boob. Sorry. You know, like, sorry, I'm grinding on you. Like, all right. Okay. Like, I probably get way more of that guy.
Got it.
Instead of like I'm going to punch a mailbox. I'm not that guy. Like, I just.
So what do you avoid? Do you avoid vodka? Do you avoid it? Or you just only drink whiskey?
I really only drink whiskey. I used to, I can't even believe that I used to get like skunk drunk. I'd drink like 12 beers. I couldn't even imagine putting that amount of volume of
That's the key
yeast
about drinking
alcohol.
A lot of beer anymore. You get too bloated, right?
You get too bloated. I can't handle it. And now I just, yeah, I pound whiskeys. And my girlfriend will always be like, she'll be like, can we do a lemon drop shot? Huh. And it's that vodka.
I know. It's,
that
oh,
kills
it's just
me.
Brutal. Vodka with the just sugar and lemon.
Just sugar.
It's the worst shot.
Yeah, who can do that?
I don't. Women.
Like, yeah, women. Vodka's
I mean, I've
for
done
women.
It, and it's yeah. the, it just it lays there. And I like vodka, but it just lays there. Man.
And I don't know how people can switch from alcohol to alcohol.
I can do.
That's a bad idea, I think.
If you do a lot of it, I think you can probably do one of each.
Yeah.
But I think you do a bunch. Yeah. You don't want to switch from vodka to whiskey or whiskey to vodka. If you're starting to drink whiskey that night, you're sticking. I can always go back to beer if I have to.
Yeah. See, like last weekend when I had to stay up till 1 o'clock to watch Arizona State.
Right.
At some point, I should have switched to beer.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, because I wasn't going to, no intention of stopping drinking,
right?
You know, until I fell down, and I started pretty early. So at some point, I should have switched to beer.
So when you break out, you know, a liter of vodka, let's just say, what's the small liter one?
Not the big one.
The 750.
750.
And if it's full, if you open it on a night like that, how far down do you kick that thing?
Probably halfway.
Oh, that's a lot of vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like I always looked at a bottle of scotch like, oh man, that's a lot of scotch.
Yeah.
And now I'll be like, oh, I finished half of it.
Yeah.
And I'm fine. This is crazy.
You need to drink a lot of whiskey, by the way. I know you don't do a lot of cocaine, but our buddy Jay, and he's been gone for 5 years, so be careful on the whiskey.
Oh, all
Jay
right.
Medicine Ad.
Yeah.
He pounded just volumes of whiskey.
Yeah.
Now he did a lot of cocaine.
He did a lot of rot gut stuff too, though. He'd drink Jack Daniels and
he drank a lot of that, right?
Yeah.
And his ankles got all thick. Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah.
Was it gout?
No, he said the doctor pushed in his ankle one time and the hole didn't come back out.
Ooh. Oh, stress doll.
I know.
That's a stress doll ankle.
That's what it was. It was a stress doll ankle. Yeah, I wish we'd have knew that line when he was alive.
Well, the true definition of a leg full.
Okay, now you're on the road every weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not getting smashed or drunk every night. Smash is a different term for you. It's
yeah, you're trying to smash every night.
Oh, I smash.
Every night.
Yeah.
Smash.
So be careful tonight, Steve, because his girlfriend's not coming till tomorrow, right?
Oh, no, she's coming today.
So oh, okay.
Today.
She's
I'm
fine.
I'm
you
good.
Can, yeah. You can smash
I'm also not bisexual.
Oh, I forgot about that part. Like, I forgot about that part.
And I'm actually like, not gay.
I never thought you were. We do a lot of gay jokes in the show. Yeah, because it's repressed crap.
I've never drank so much.
So you drink every night?
That's been the problem. This summer I was on the road a lot, and
I was your age and I did what you did for a living, I would drink every night because I don't wake up at 4 a.m. Now, granted, you do some radio when you're on the road, but you can still just show up at 8 and mess around a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this summer I was really traveling hard, and I think, you know, they say that when you're stressed out in life, you max out your social.
Yeah.
And so, like, every night my girlfriend and I were pounding liquor. And so recently I was like, you know what, you got to go back to like 2 nights a week or like 1 night a week. And, but I don't know, like I drank a little whiskey last night. I drank a little whiskey the night before.
Because
this
you're
is
at
how
a
it
club.
Starts.
You're at a club. You're doing stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's easier to not drinking at the house.
Yeah. Especially when it's free. You show up and they're like, you want a drink? You're like, yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah.
I guess I would love that thing.
I do what Tyler does for a living and I still drink every night.
Yeah, you do. But he really smashes it every night. I mean, he gets drunk every night.
I don't get hammered every night, though.
I like to get a little buzz, like my grandma said. I like to a little whiskey, a little weed, put a little float on. You know what's funny?
By the way, people keep asking if your grandmother's still got a bong store. Your grandmother's gone, right?
She's dead. Okay. Yeah. She's
and that bong store doesn't exist in
somebody
Oklahoma.
Wanted to go patronize her business.
Yeah.
We got a friend that lives in Joplin.
Yeah, the sign is still there. All the hipsters in the neighborhood were like, this is a historic landmark.
That's so cool.
And I visited the sign. It's Lady Anne's.
I forgot.
What is this about?
My grandmother was one of the reasons why bongs were legal. She won a federal court case.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's a weird fun fact about me. Yeah. And
it's a fun fact.
And it was like a thing that was hidden from us as children. You know, she'd always be around us and, you know, she smelled like weed. weed, she'd talk about weed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was always rumors within the family. And then when she died, my brothers went down to help clean out her store. And they
were
like,
she had long-haired gray dreads or anything like that? Was she really hippie-looking?
No. Okay. She was a pretty normal-looking.
Okay. I mean, 60s housewife, basically?
60s housewife. Yeah. She was a lounge singer in Vegas and L.A. for
now,
part of her
life. Now, did she have to hire an expensive lawyer? Or did somebody who wanted the glory of that case step up and do it pro bono?
Yeah, I think it was a pro bono thing. Because they were not, I mean, we didn't have a wealthy family.
Yeah, this is 60s too, and, so it had to be some hippie lawyer coming up there.
Well, that's probably some good pub for whoever defended her.
Yeah, I imagine. You know, that guy's dead.
But still a landmark case.
It's a landmark case. And, you know, so if you're ripping bong hits, thank Lady Anne.
Thank Lady Anne.
Thank my grandma for
your bong hit. Thank Pete Lee's grandma.
That's really cool, man.
Pete Lee and Steve Gillespie.